Welcome everyone to our next episode of the Limes Women in Science podcast. Here we talk to interesting women, men and non-binary scientists about their careers, life, ups and downs in order to inspire our fellows to find their own path, either in or outside academia. My name is Katarzyna Placek and I'm a group leader at the Life and Medical Sciences Institute of the University of Bonn. Today our guest is Elena Rekce, a junior professor at the Life and Medical Sciences Institute of the University of Bonn. Elena, your speedy career to professorship is impressive. Happy to have you in our podcast.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
Yeah, so I guess we will start with the obvious question. What inspired you to become a scientist?
Yeah, I think I cannot really pinpoint that to something. So yeah, I always did what I enjoy and I always followed my curiosity, and that happened to be science. And what I really like about it is that you work hard on things, you uncover new things. I like to establish connections between different fields, but also with other scientists. And I really like to pursue things that have a purpose and that all fits very well to science. So I don't think it was a particular inspiration, but more that I just followed my interests always.
So that's, yeah, that fits also my path, actually. So what are the scientific questions you are trying to answer now with your research team?
So we are interested in metabolic adaptations in the context of metabolic diseases like diabetes, for example, but also cancer, because cancer also has very particular metabolism. And we use patient-derived organoids. We try to establish platforms based on these organoids that are suitable to find new tool compounds. New tool compounds can be like drug precursors, so to say. And to identify new biological cues that redirect cellular metabolism. And I'm very convinced that implementing organoids as a new, more physiological model at the very beginning of basic research, and not only for validation purposes, will enable us to uncover biological mechanisms that are difficult to uncover otherwise.
Can you tell us a bit about your career path so far?
Yeah, it has been a lot of jump between fields. So I started to study my bachelor's in molecular biomedicine here at the University of Bonn in 2009. And I always felt that I was missing out on chemistry because I always wanted to understand the molecular fundamental of biology, and that, yeah, everything is chemistry around us. So I always felt I wanted to understand first the chemistry more to be able to understand the biology. And I also really enjoyed the chemical biology modules at the University of Bonn, and then decided that I wanted to stay in that direction and move to Dortmund to study chemical biology. And there I put my focus on organic chemistry and medicinal chemistry. And then afterwards, I was looking to join a research group where I could do something at the interface between biology and chemistry. And I did my PhD in the laboratory of Herbert Waldmann at the Max Planck Institute in Dortmund. And I developed new glucose uptake inhibitors to starve cancer of its favorite nutrient source. And that was really at the interface, so I did a little bit organic chemistry, but mainly biology to validate those compounds. And then at one point I again realized, okay, now I'm missing again the biological components. So I was, I really wanted to put the search for new compounds in a more physiological context, because I felt like, okay, these cancer cell lines, they're still quite far away from the tumor. So I really was missing out on some biological models. And also I wanted to understand more how biologists think, because I'm like something in between and I wanted to learn that a bit more. So I looked for a postdoc in a laboratory that was focused more on physiological relevant systems like organoids. And then I applied to the lab of Hans Clevers at the Hubrecht Institute for developmental biology and stem cell research. And there I was going already with a plan that at one point I would like to have my own lab to really set up my own niche, my own interface between chemical biology and something more physiological. So that fit then really well. And then since April 2023, I'm a centrally recruited W1 professor with tenure track W2, situated at the Limes Institute.
And we are happy to have you here. Welcome back to Bonn.
Yeah.
I read one interesting thing in your CV, that you were a participant of the 72nd Lindau Nobel Laureate meeting. Can you tell us what the meeting is about, how one can apply to participate, what are the impressions, and finally, which Nobel laureates you met?
Yeah, I think that was a really exciting meeting. So it's a meeting where once a year, 40 Nobel laureates come together at the island Lindau, which is in Germany. And in my case, it was in the field of medicine and physiology. And they give scientific talks and participate in panel discussions. And additionally to those Nobel laureates, there were also a lot of young scientists and to be more accurate, 600 young scientists are there from different levels. So you have students there, master students, PhD students, postdoc, and some young group leaders as well. And yeah, you can apply yourself to go there. So there's certain spots that are reserved for scientists to directly apply, but it's all really only young scientists that are allowed to go. And in my case, I was proposed to participate from my postdoc fellowship from the Human Frontier Science Program, and they propose always a certain amount of postdoctoral fellows to go, and then you still had to apply, but you had probably better chances than to get
So you're like pre-selected for that.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think overall there was a really great opportunity to be really close, and they were everywhere basically, so you always saw few clouds of people, and then you knew in the middle there's probably a Nobel laureate. And so you got the chance to further, not only during in between talks, to meet them and to discuss further, which was, I have to say, quite difficult because of this cloud of people around them. But you could also sign up for a science walk, called it, over the island of Lindau.
How big is the island?
So when you walked once around, it was probably like 45 minutes.
Okay, so that's
not huge.
But still.
But they're also not the youngest anymore, right? So most of them, at least. So I think for them...
Cut it out. Just kidding.
Yeah. For the science walk, for example, I chose to talk to William Kalin Jr. So as you probably all know, he was discovering the mechanism how HIF was degraded or is degraded, so that oxygen presence plays a role, but also the von Hippel-Lindau protease. And so that was quite cool to be so close and to ask direct questions and have only a selected amount of students around him. So we were maybe 10, 15 people or something, so really small round, and then had also like a small snack or something where we also sat at a table so that he can relax a bit from the walk again. And yeah, so that was really cool. And yeah, most inspirational for sure is Frances Arnold. I think she's just such a power woman. Just her presence is like just filling the room. You see her, like she gives amazing talks. They're so entertaining. I've never seen talks like that. And then she's also just so smart and so straight and unfiltered. It's just a joy to see her. And she has also, for example, two kids and was actually a scientific advisor also in the last presidential period under Joe Biden. I think that also shows what a well reputation, of course, like all Nobel laureates have a good reputation, but how visible she was also for politics. Exactly, and influential as well. So so she's definitely it's always worth looking at watching a talk from her if anybody of you get the chance.
For your scientific excellence, you have received numerous fellowships and awards. Which one you consider the biggest challenge and the biggest success?
Yeah, I think for me the most important one to receive was the Human Frontiers fellowship, so from the Human Frontier Science Program. So I applied for that in the cross-disciplinary section because I was really at the interface, and that fit also the best of the fellowships I applied for. And that was most important for me because, yeah, that's the part in your career where you distinguish yourself also from others, because it's the first time you apply for your own money. I mean, of course, with your PI in the background, but still you prove
your own idea.
Exactly, your own idea, and you prove to the academic system that you are able to acquire own money for your own ideas. So that was definitely the most important one, I would say, for me personally, but the most honorable one is then, the Otto Hahn Medal is something that is very special, definitely. So there's just a few scientists that receive it every year for each discipline. I think it's around, or for each section, it's around 20. So it's given by the Max Planck Society, and you have to be proposed by a Max Planck director for it. And I was very, very honored and happy that my PI, my old PI, Herbert Waldmann, proposed me for this medal. And that was a really big honor, I think. And that was also, I don't know if equally important for my career, but definitely to see that it has a purpose of what you do, that people recognize the work you put into it, and the success that comes out of it, that was a really cool moment, definitely. But we missed the celebration because it was Corona time. So normally there's like a big celebration around it. That would have been nice, but yeah.
But congratulations anyway. Thank you. Awesome achievement. And you also received the Christiane Nusslein Wohlhardt stipend. Can you explain what the stipend is about?
Christiane Nusslein-Vollhardt, she's also a Nobel laureate. She was also at the meeting, actually, where I was. But her I met before because there are yearly stipend meetings. She founded this foundation in her name, I think 2004. And it's about supporting female scientists that get children to manage their daily life better, let's say. So she herself didn't have children, never. But she always recognized the challenge of having children next to a scientific career, and that it was not an equal opportunity that women get that have children because of traditional role models, like traditional household work. But still, even if you do not do traditional household work, having a child, you still care about not only yourself and you are less free, but you have responsibility for another human being. So it's anyhow, even if you don't share, if you share everything equally at home, it's still not the same as before. And she really recognizes this extra challenge and gives a monthly stipend to pay for things that make your life easier. You could put more hours into science, basically. So I think especially as PhD and postdoc, that's very valuable because you only get forward when you do spend hours in the lab, and then you always have these evenings, like usually at least once a week, at least in my postdoc, where you have to stay longer than you think. And then if you then have to do everything on top. So we spend this money, for example, for buying a drying machine that helps us, even though we share at home our work equally, but still it does help you when you have a drying machine and you don't have to hang up all the stuff. Or we got like groceries delivered, and so we didn't go shopping anymore. And we also had some help cleaning the house. So this was best way for us to, because my husband also has a career and we both work full time, so to best divide the hours to devote to our work, but also to then have the quality time with Teresa and to then not do household work. So that was I think she really recognizes that sadly also comes down to money that makes your life easier, and as PhD and postdoc you don't have that, to be able to have this luxury of having somebody that helps you clean in the house. But then she enables this luxury, so to say, that you can spend your hours how you would like to spend them.
Mm-hmm. Wow, so you really obviously successfully manage family and professional life. Any tips how to become a successful mother in academia?
It might sound very trivial or maybe quite harsh, but I think if you don't have the right partner that supports you in that, you are screwed. Because as soon as you get children and everything becomes a lot more challenging, a lot more difficult. And for me, it was definitely my husband that enabled me to be there where I am today with a child. So without, probably would have been also worked without him, but with a child for sure not, because he definitely put his career after mine for the last years because he knew it was just so important to me. I think also finding the common ground. So for us both, it was that we didn't want to have those classical role models at home. So we both enjoy doing both, working and being with Teresa and caring for her, for my daughter, Teresa. And now in Bonn, I have to say, it gets a lot easier now to combine family and life, because now you don't have this unexpected, I have to stay longer in the lab. I mean, there's still unexpected things, but you can often just work in the evening, so you're more flexible. So now it's easier to find the balance between both of our careers again. But yeah, I think for this crucial phases, PhD and postdoc, there it's quite important. Yeah.
And now you're expecting the second one, so congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Any things you would do differently or maybe the same in managing work responsibilities and care of a little baby?
Yeah, so I feel definitely in a very different place now. So I was really, really afraid to get my first baby at the end of my PhD. So I'm definitely a lot less afraid and a lot more determined to do it my way and not how people think it should be done, and also care less about what other people think.
It's a nice tip in general, also with a first child.
Yeah, exactly. But there, you may be not as stubborn yet.
So you did your postdoctoral training in the Netherlands. Do you see any differences between Netherlands and Germany in the academic system in regards to women involvement in research?
Yeah, I think that's a bit difficult to answer. I think I was at an institute that was had like a lot of really determined and good people. So it's probably not the average of the Netherlands. But what I felt that the culture is a bit different. So I felt that the women were very self-confident about everything. They were like, bam, here I am. Sometimes I wish we would also be a bit more like that, let's say. I don't know if that changes anything, but I had the feeling like they're not afraid to hide. They're not afraid to speak out, to speak up. But yeah, I actually do not know the numbers, how if that reflects then also. But there were a lot of female PIs definitely at the Hubrecht. I think we were probably almost 50-50 or 40-60, something like that. So there were quite a lot of female group leaders, and also professors in Utrecht in general, female professors. What I do like in the Netherlands, what they do is that they have the parental leave more split throughout childhood. So they mm-hmm. do not do a year of staying at home, but they from the beginning on combine it more. And usually it's very common also in academia that parents, like one parent stays home one day a week and then the other one another day a week. So you only have 3 days of daycare and you still have more time with your child. And that is something that is, yeah, I wouldn't say encouraged, but it's very respected in society. So it's nothing that where people look at you weirdly or comment on it. But I do think that it's still challenging when you want to pursue a scientific career to do that, to have only 4 days a week, because you will always compete with people that work 5 days a week. So I think that's the probably not the way that makes it better, but it's just interesting to see how other countries do it. And I also had colleagues that did it, not a lot, but I knew some colleagues that tried it at least.
And now together with Professor Kiermaier, you're leading Limes Women in Science Committee. What is the goal and what is the vision for the committee?
I think that women in science is a lot about empowering each other. So I always felt very inspired by other female scientists, that especially female mother scientists that pursued an academic career, to just talk openly about fears, challenges, to know how they did it, to get an idea on how you can combine career and science and a family. I really hope that we can get this spirit also to women in science, that we see it more as like a challenge to solve all together. And I want to implement is, for example, a new mentoring system with the female group leaders we have at the Institute to enable the young scientists to ask questions that would maybe not find an answer through. We have also this coaching with an external company, but maybe more science related answers that are maybe good to answer in this more private context with somebody that is really well aware of the institute itself and specific questions maybe. And then also what we both agree on is that when we want a society where we want to have women more in charge, we also need to help men that take equal responsibility, for example, at home, because they do face the same challenges then when you have a dual career, to also not forget about them and see that more as a challenge we have to solve together and change that a bit. So there we align pretty well on our visions, I think.
Super nice. Yeah, I have a final question for you that I'm super curious how you will answer. So you have a small daughter. What would you tell her if one day she comes to you and says that she wants to be a scientist?
I would be happy for her if she freely decides for herself what she wants. No matter what she wants to be, if it's being a scientist, I would hope that I didn't push her into that. But that she really wants to do that and that she just finds what she's happy in doing.
Super cool. Thank you very much for your inspiring conversation. Now I have a surprise for you because the questions are not over.
Oh, okay.
I have a few surprise questions for you, but the idea is just to answer very quickly to them. So, without thinking. Yeah?
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Chemistry or biology?
Wow, that's really tough. That's the toughest question that you gave me. I guess chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Mentoring or teaching?
Mentoring.
Utrecht or Bonn?
Bonn.
Mountains or the sea?
The sea. Yeah, mountains.
PhD or postdoc?
PhD.
Ice creams or hot chocolate?
Also very different. hot chocolate.
Is science a job or calling?
Calling.
Fast or far?
Far.
Motherhood or career?
Yeah, both. Huh? Like, that's unfair to put that question in. You don't have to decide.
Beer or wine?
Wine.
Thank you so much, Elena. It was really a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for all your insights, inspiration, and you truly are an inspiring mother in science. So congratulations on your achievement so far, and we wish you all the best and most of success for your now group in Limes Institute. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for the invite. I really enjoyed it and looking forward to hear to the episode.
Cool. Thank you.
The music for our podcast was composed and performed by Dr. Klaus Wunderling and Professor Aliona Kmelinskaya.